the big scores. That chillin' smells good. Recha milsa we paskin, so I'm going to enjoy it through you. Through the race. I could, but that would the pashtus, that would stare the diet. The pashtus. I'm still looking for that diet that matters chillin', you know what I mean? On Thursday night at 10 o'clock. No, Alan. No, Alan. It doesn't have to be healthy. Okay. Bosai, Shakayach for everyone, and particularly Shakayach to the Obersteins, who are sponsoring this evening's shiur. It's apropos, as just a few weeks ago they were machnas a Sefer Torah themselves, and in the schus of that mitzvah, I use that word advisedly, Rabbi Oberstein, in the schus of that mitzvah, which is the Minyan Tayag, it should be Magagul and Sosai Dezaka, you should fulfill the first 612 mitzvahs as well, for you and for your entire wonderful family. Yeah. Scheduling note, as was alluded to, next week is Erev Rosh Hashanah, the week after is Rabbi Franz, community-wide cheer, and then is Yom Kippur and Sukkot. Oh, my boys, come on in. And so we will be off from tonight until Birkas Hashem, Parshas Bereishis. We'll begin our third Sidra, third night shurim together with Hashem's help. Apropos, to finish tonight, it's in the Sovim Vayelech, to finish... Louis, you can sit down. Put it here. Okay, I'm starting. Parsha's in the Sovim Vayelech. The double Parsha, and as you're familiar, the last of the 613 mitzvahs, at least as they're categorized by their appearance in the Torah, is quoted for us in Parshas Vayelech. The Torah tells us in Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Yutes, Ba'ata, and now, Ata with an ayin, Kisvu lachem es ha-shira, hazos, you should write this shira, v'lomda es b'nei Yisrael, and you should teach it, teach Torah to b'nei Yisrael, siva b'fim, you should place it in their mouth, l'man t'yeli ha-shira hazos, l'aid b'nei Yisrael. This should be an aid, a testimony for b'nei Yisrael. Now, the truth of the matter is, we're not going to get into it at all today, but you should know that there is a discussion in Rishonim and Achronim whether the Shira here is, as we are going to assume, a metaphor for the whole Torah, or it's actually referring to specifically the upcoming Shira of Ha'azinu. It's a very interesting machlokes, but we assume that it's referring to the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah, and in fact, this is the makor the Rambam quotes it. Mitzvahs aseh yud ches. The Rambam tells us, Hisha tzivanu shiel kol ish, imenu from every ish, Sefer Torah la'atzmo. You should have our own Sefer Torah. Im kisvu biyado, if you write it on your own, hu meshubach, that's extra praiseworthy. Ma'od yoser tov, kmo she'amru. And the Gemara Menachos, I have it here, but compared to the Rambam, quotes the essential line, Kisvu b'yodo, if you write a Torah by yourself, Ma'ale ha'kosov k'ilu kibo mihar Sinai. That's as if, a higher level, you fulfilled this, as if you were there present, you got the Torah at Har Sinai. The Im Yeshar, the Rambam continues, again, and this is all from the Gemara Masechta Menachos. You can't write it, how many people are sofrim? Sar shiknehu, you should pay someone to do it. O Yaskar Mishiyaktivehu lo. So to be more precise, it sounds like Yikneo means you could buy one. We'll have to see. This is a very controversial nuance that the Rambam adds. Or you can pay someone to write it. The classical hiring of the sofer. Now you'll ask, Naniach, we're assuming, the Gemara seems to assume really, that this Kisvu Shira Hazos refers to Sefer Torah. The Shaila is, how do we know? Why? Why? I mean, especially now with near Hazina, why assume that Shira doesn't just mean a song? A particular part of the Torah. So it's interesting, there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin we're going to get to in Daf Chaf, And the Me'iri there makes this Ha'ara, but the Stama, as he often is the case, the Me'iri is really based on the Rambam. The Rambam in the Sefer Mitzvot tells us, it's a subtle thing. If you're not aware of the question, the implied question, you don't realize that he's, what we say, bevorning the question. He's already answering a question he hasn't yet asked. The question is what I just specified, which is, why should that be? Why should the Pasuk of write for you a Shira, a song, why should that be the source for writing the whole Torah? Rambam tells us something which is, to some extent, perhaps a Shavuos or Simchas Torah topic, a meta Talmud Torah topic. The Rambam says, because it's impossible any other way. Ki ein mutter luchtam as a Torah parshios parshios. You're not allowed. It's a separate halacha. You can't break up the Torah. You can't, just like we know that halachas, you're not supposed to be quoting half psukim. That comes up as a problem in davening often. That's supposed to be kol pasuk, kol pasuk Moshe. We go, the Torah is a unit. It's an integrated unit. We don't write parshios independently. We don't break up the psukim in our own way. The Torah is a unit. So once we know you have to write part of the Torah, memela, says the Rambam, that's how we know you have to write the entire Torah. Let's stop here for a moment, and instead of continuing in the Rambam and Sefer HaMitzvahs, let's just tease out what so far, we may not realize, but what we're learning now about the essence of this mitzvah. This Gemara, which the Rambam begins his discussion with, seems to indicate, the Gemara itself, and really the Rambam makes it even clearer, the Rambam, the Gemara's actual language is, you know, if you can buy a Sefer Torah, so that is great. If you can buy a Sefer Torah from the market, it's as if you grabbed the a mitzvah from the market, the Gemara says. And if you wrote it, it's as if you received the Torah at Har Sinai. So the implied assumption, which the Rambam seemed to be explicit about, is that if you buy a fully written Sefer Torah, not written for you, for your family, for all your grandchildren, and all the other kavanas that people have when they do family Sefer Torah. No, there's a Sefer Torah on the market. You bought it. Wasn't written with you in mind at all. It sounds like you fulfill the mitzvah, the daraisa, of having a Sefer Torah. That's the pashas of the Rambam. It's certainly a plausible read of the Gemara itself, maybe even the best read, and the Rambam seems to be very meduyak in this way. It sounds like the essence of this mitzvah, therefore, is everyone should possess a Torah. Did you have to write the Torah, command someone to write the Torah for you? No. The Lashon of the Pasuk is Kisvu. So, the Pashtus, if part of this is, it didn't mean literally you have to write a Sefer Torah or have them write it on your back. It means what's the more likely way you'll get it? You should make sure it's written. Meaning, because if it's not written, it won't exist. But not that you have a halachic obligation to write it or somehow have a shliach write it. It sounds like from the Rambam, if you buy a Torah, you have the mitzvah. Now, that's not our comment, right? Most of you did not walk in here today assuming that. And I'm not saying we'll conclude that either. But that seems to be what the Rambam is teaching us.
How can the Torah mandate something which is so expensive and so few people may have the resources? I mean, the whole Torah generally, everybody is capable of participating.
Right.
This is a mitzvah that some people, their resources cannot participate.
Well,
how can the Torah mandate that?
Truth be told, Lav Dafke was always so expensive, number one. Number two, there are more easier ways, as we're all familiar, perhaps most popularized by Lubavitcher Rebbe, Zatzal, but it certainly predated Lubavitcher Rebbe. We'll see it from Chazal, Kol HaMagia Os Achas. Even one letter can be considered as fulfilling the mitzvah. And finally, just as an aside, it's more dramatic, especially when we think of Bezman Hazeh, the amount of money it costs to have a Sefer Torah written. But tefillin. There are some people who can't even afford tefillin. And there are other mitzvahs that cost plenty of money. And we have principles in halacha about how much you have to pay, ad shlish, onus rachmana patre, even onus mamin. There are halachas. So, lo yitzri, there was no other way to do it. And the only way you could do it is commissioning a $35,000 Torah. And I simply don't have the money. And the minchas chinuch has a topic which I don't want to talk about. Could you do it b'shutvus? Three families get together. Let's say you can. But let's say I still have enough money for that. Maybe the answer would just be, okay, so you'll be on the Sakhmana Patre. You know, some things cost money, and if Hashem didn't bless you. You know, the logic is, if Hashem didn't give you enough money to fulfill the mitzvah, that's the way some Achronim actually speak about on the Sakhmana Patre, whether it's about money or you broke your leg and you can't get to shul. some Akronim versus Engel, others speak about, he understands this. If Hashem wants you to do the mitzvah, but he himself made you not able to do the mitzvah, obviously he doesn't want you to do the mitzvah. That gets into the whole idea of whether onus is just putter, or is it completely not chayiv. But, you know, so even in that question, you have many layers, perhaps, of analysis. But you asked it to the side, so therefore we'll leave my answer to the side. We're going to get to that, because that's the Gemara in Sanhedrin. He's going to, and it's not going to be good, but that's, again, a good, different Gemara. I stopped, I said to you, I want to stop here. That's right before the Rambam discusses the Gemara in Sanhedrin. You're too smart for me. Okay. Now, the fact that the Rambam says you could buy a Sefer Torah is controversial. And there are Rishonim, such as the Nemuki Osei here and others, who just disagree. They disagree, they hold, it's simply insufficient. And in fact, if the Rambam and Yoredeya Paskins, that buying a fully written Sefer Torah is not a fulfillment of the mitzvah. Maybe it's a good thing, maybe it's got other milas, a school, who knows. It's not the fulfillment of this mitzvah. 613, buying a Sefer Torah. That's a Ramah, I can't do anything about it. It's black and white Ramah. And it's based on a Muki Yosef. But, if you're Azlin and Basar HaRambam, maybe the Sfardim perhaps, so the Rambam Paskins, that you do. But that's my focus, we're sure the Muki Yosef disagrees. So that's a different halacha, that's the first halacha in Siman Aleph and in Hilchos Puruvu in Ebenezer. If there are only two things you can sell Sefer Torah for, Pidyon Shvuyim, and to marry off a Yisoma. Excuse me, a Yosom, that's Lashon Shulchan Aruch. You couldn't have realized, I spoke about this on my Chasam Tish. Were you there? Your sister became friends with my wife, but that was after we got married, I think, right? I don't know if she was at my wedding, but I don't think. I spoke about this, the reason I made that mental mistake, you'll forgive me for sharing, is because it's the Machlokas Nosei Kelim in Shulchan Aruch and Eben Ezer, whether we even then apply that to a Yisoma. To an orphan who's a girl who needs to get married off. Lashon is Yosom, a male orphan, and that's a discussion by the Beit Shmuel and Chag Mechokes and Aruch HaShulchan. So that's not tonight's topic. But you're taking me back. I'm almost 11 years married.
Wow.
Almost 11 years. I'm still in the Shana Siris. Okay. Now, if you hold like the Nemuke Yosef, the simple understanding is, let's think about this, that the Muki Yosef is not just arguing about whether buying a Sefer Torah fulfills the mitzvah. That machlokes gets to the heart of the mitzvah itself. As we said about the Rambam, if the Rambam says that buying a Sefer Torah is enough to fulfill the mitzvah, that requires us to redefine perhaps our assumptions, and that the mitzvah is possessing a Sefer Torah, apparently according to the Muki Yosef, possession is insufficient. Just possessing a Sefer Torah is not sufficient, or else buying a Torah would be enough. Rather, the Muki Yosef seems to be holding truer to the Lashon HaKasuv. Kitzu, you have to write a Sefer Torah. Now, the truth is, and here we'll get now Chaim's comment, on the one hand, you'll just say, okay, no, Rishonim are arguing. But it's not so simple, because the Rambam seems to have a good raya, the Gemara Menachos we started with. Gemara Menachos seems to say, you buy a Sefer Torah in the market, you get a mitzvah. It's not as good as writing it, that will agree. Mitzvah bo yosem ibishlucho. But still, you get a mitzvah, that's the Rambam stock. So on the one hand, the Muki Yosef seems to be very much against that Gemara, the gist of that Gemara. On the other hand, perhaps a raya for the Muki Yosef comes from a different Gemara. And this is a point that was already brought up. It's in fact not the Gemara Masechta Menachos, but the Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin, Daf Chof Amud Aleph. Here the Gemara talks about, this is in the context, for those who are familiar, what's Daf Chof and Masechta Sanhedrin, what Perek? The second parak, of course, a short little parak, but great parak about Melech and Kohen Gadol. And this is in the context, what's a cousin of our mitzvah tonight? Right, the Sefer Torah, an additional one that the king has to write. So in the Hilchos HaMelech, this is the Mishnah that it's talking about. And in that context, the Gemara, after it's talking about the Mishnah, says that Melech has to write an additional Sefer Torah, which goes with him everywhere. Then the Gemara says, explicitly, Yerushas Sefer Torah is insufficient. I have a feeling that this is not well known. Because the mindset of some of the people that I know who have dedicated Sefer Torah for their families is this sense of Yerusha. Very much so. It's often older people, and that this is the Torah for the family. Now, nostalgically, emotionally, even spiritually, on other levels, that's all true and wonderful. I think a lot of people have a sense that now the whole family has this mitzvah forever. And the answer is, it's an explicit Gemara. It's not true. Every individual needs to write their own Sefer Torah. and it's lo nitnei Yerusha. It's an explicit Gemara. Yerusha is insufficient.
Is that referring to a melech?
Very good. So the context of the Mishnah was the melech. Yes, yes, you could for sure argue that. But many, many, many Rishonim assume that even though the Mishnah started off talking about the melech, that's the Parak and Sanhedrin, but the halacha is not limited to the king. Right? The king inherited lots of other things from his probably royal and very wealthy father. You know, it's not just limited to him. Everybody is not going to fulfill the mitzvah if they just are yorish this. Oh, good. So let's, before we start, so just again, we're just going baby steps and simple. We'll try to get on the level of Sam Sperling shortly. What's the gist? What's the assumption of the Gemara in Sanhedrin? Inheritance is not enough. What does that talk about? What's our question? Our question is, what is the Geder HaMitzvah? What's the essence of the mitzvah? Is it possession or is it writing? So, on the one hand, the Gemara Menachal seems to say possession is enough. That's why if you buy one, but this Gemara makes it clear that possession is insufficient. After all, if I'm Yoresh, if I inherit Sefer Torah, I possess it. Yet, it's insufficient. So on the one hand, the Nimuki Yosei seems to be running afoul of the spirit of the Gemara Menachos. On the other hand, he's got great support from the Gemara in Maseches Sanhedrin. And it could very well be that these two halachos are mutually exclusive. As one could argue, that since these two halachos are based on differing presumptions of the mitzvah, it could be that these psakim are inconsistent. And that's, again, not entirely inconceivable that Gemaras would be giving different psakim based on different assumptions. And again, it's important for us to keep in mind this very basic question. What is the mitzvah? Possession of a Sefer Torah? And one could easily imagine why that's significant, even if you didn't write it yourself, but to have it is already an important statement. Or, we'll get to that in a second, whether learning is the issue. We're going to get to that. That's going to relate to two very important issues. One is whether women are obligated, and two, what is the status nowadays when we don't learn from Sefer Torah? We'll get to that. Very good. But before we get to that, is it possession? And just having it in the house. You could argue people who have a Sefer Torah, it's meaningful. Or is it the act of being in charge of creating a Sefer Torah, which is a whole different perspective? So maybe buying is enough.
You haven't done an action which is
a good. Excellent, Joel. Excellent. Excellent. I think maybe that Sam, you were referring to that before, Sam? Okay, I thought that's actually where Sam was going, whether or not he was. That is where I'm going. That is where I'm going. And I want to suggest that I have to say this, B'Shem Omro. I first heard this as a svara from Rabbi Meish Tarragon, and I think it's certainly better to be Mechavin even to me, to be Mechavin to Meish Tarragon. He wanted to suggest this as a possibility. That perhaps, this, come on, let me just flesh it out and I'll take your question. And that is the following. Until now, I was assuming that Yerusha and buying are two versions of the same coin, two flip sides of the same coin, namely, you didn't write it. And therefore, I was assuming that they are, if you hold one, you can't hold the other, and vice versa. But perhaps, you could have, in this sense, your cake and eat it too. Now again, there's clearly a machlokas, we're not going to resolve that. The machlokas exists. See, the Ramah, the Nemuki Yosef, and many Rishonim on both sides, whether buying is sufficient. But in terms of the lumdus, and do you have to assume that Yerusha is like a wedge issue? So that, we assumed yes. But you could make the argument, and in this context, Joel made the point well, and I heard this from Rabbi Tarragon, and I'll give you another, someone even better than both of you, who in a different context made that point about in the lumdus. But you could say that perhaps those two issues, Yerusha and Mechira, should be, Kinyan should be distinguished. Because even though you didn't go to the effort of writing a Sefer Torah, at least buying takes initiative, let alone Chisaron Kis. But forget the Chisaron Kis. Maybe you're going to get it for $2. And maybe you're just going to be Mishtate for a little bit with 20 other people. But the bottom line is there's an initiative. There is an action that you did. You went and you bought a Torah. Whatever form that takes. But if all you did was Yoresh, the Sefer Torah, so the Yerusha is automatic. Right? Yerusha happens in no time, and there's many other Nafkaminas to that fact. Yerusha is automatic. Right? The moment of death, there is Yerusha. You don't have to worry about probate, you don't have to file. Yerusha is automatic. You didn't do anything. So one could argue that even if you assume that Yerusha is insufficient, which is the Gemara and Sanhedrin, everyone is more or less going to have to agree to that, unless you reread the Gemara limited to Melech, but we're assuming that it applies to everybody, that's not necessarily going to force you then that'll defend the Rambam. That's not going to force you to agree with the Nemuke Yosef that you can't buy it. Because maybe you could still buy it, and buying is better. Now, I don't think that he is answering up our issue, the way Joel and Rabbi Dergan were, but as a shita in and of itself, in terms of the lumbus of the mitzvah, there's an Imrei Bina. The Imrei Bina in Orach Chaim makes this point, that it's not so much that you have to write it. Kisvu didn't mean literally you have to write it. We asked, but if it doesn't mean, if it's just possession, so why does the Torah use kisvu? So I gave a balabatish explanation beforehand, but the Imrei Bina says even sharper, because kisvu means you have to do an action. It shouldn't just be that you're a bump on a log and you inherited the Sefer Torah. You need to kisvu, not literally write it, you need to do something, take some initiative in order to take possession of the Torah. And if you do that, again, it doesn't mean that the mitzvah is right in the Sefer Torah. The mitzvah could still be possession of a Torah, but it requires a certain initiative. And if I was giving the different Torahs before Ma'ariv, obviously the Musar here is, I think, self-evident and frankly very beautiful and very powerful. Yes, Mickey.
So, you said what's the reason he claims to write. But really, it would seem that the real reason is to multiply the number of Sefer Torah.
Perhaps.
And the Rambam's talking about selling.
Buying.
About buying. If we said that there's only two cases in which someone's allowed to sell, and presumably the Rambam's not referring to those two cases, or maybe he is, but...
No, someone, let's say someone writes a Sefer Torah. What's the sofer going to do with it? He wrote it, Almanach.
I just assume that people...
I don't think that that's precluded.
I was thinking that maybe the Rambam's talking about if you're rescued. In other words, somebody
sells someone... Well, it's in Silver Spring, right? Isn't there, it's a nationally known person. I'm escaping their name. Baltimore, not Silver Spring?
No,
his son is in Silver Spring or something?
No.
They're both in Baltimore? Okay. Okay, so they're rescuing Sefer Torah.
In other words, if we're only saying
I don't think so. Again, my assumption is. My assumption is if a sofer wanted to write a Torah for profit, it's on spec, right? Sometimes builders build something they don't have a buyer. Sometimes they only build it if they have a buyer. So let's say that a guy writes a Sefer Torah, now he wants to sell. He wrote it to sell. So my assumption, which is a tentative one, and I didn't look into this from this perspective, but leave you only that would be okay. That's my assumption.
Okay, I see that as a couple of them. In other words, you raise your...
Okay, so the point is, my point is, if I'm right, and I am saying tentatively, if I'm right, then that's an easy explanation for what this Rambam is referring to.
Right.
Okay?
Would the new book also stimulate, let's say, if you bought a, if you purchased a puzzle, say, for Torah,
and your magia,
and you completed it.
Yes, that's not just the remaking music. That's already a chazal. Makol ha-magia osachas, even by fixing up one letter, writing one letter, kavahomer, fixing one letter, that's the key, you write the whole thing. That has a schus. Because without it, it's kosher, it's puzzle. Transforming a puzzle to a kosher is as if you're creating a yesh me'ayin. Right? Now, the Gemara here... Now again, what's our pasuk? Let's go back to the beginning. I just want to mention one thing because it's very relevant, frankly, to our shul in a certain sense, simplistically. Ata kisu lachem es hashira hazos. The word lachem. What is lachem coming to add? Maybe nothing. It's just narrative. Or is lachem to be understood by of a significant implication? So what does that say? So there is an interesting Torah chaim. There's an achron. It's quoted by Nosei Kalim. And it's very provocative, I have to say. There are people who will commission the writing of Sefer Torah and give it to a shul. Now, I do not think it means lend. I said simplistic. And I believe, even though from the shul perspective, I'm always disappointed to find out that we own like no Sefer Torah. Because all the Sefer Torah are only being lent. Oh, we own one, Baruch Hashem. They're all being lent to us. But the truth is, for good reason. I don't know if this is what the Kavanah was. But at least the Torah Chaim says, if you write a Sefer Torah, you could commission an alien $36,000, $50,000. Beautiful. And then you give it to a yeshiva and to a mevatel the mitzvah. It's not enough to write the Sefer Torah. You have to own it. In a sense, there's two did it.
For how long?
It doesn't. I'm not sure. I'm not sure. It's a very intriguing shita. Perhaps that's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. He's your shliach. So you're nitzan for sure. He's not fulfilling the mitzvah. You're fulfilling the mitzvah through him. Yes, there are. Yes, yes. When it comes to the issue of women, which we're going to get to, I don't think we have time for it. But there's a discussion of that parallel. There's a discussion of that parallel. We'll see. But that is the Taras Chaim. Now, on the how could we thought I thought we require you know, is possession enough? So he's clearly focusing very much on possession. I is possession enough. I Yerusha is not good, and maybe Mechir might even buying is not good. So the answer is, it's not that he's saying possession is enough. It's a necessary, but how does the saying go? But not sufficient, thank you, but insufficient condition. According to him, presumably you have to write it, and you have to own it. Now again, writing it could be by a shliach, but it means writing it, and own it. Now you should just know that this is an intriguing shita, but lav dafka lahalacha. Rabbi Kiva Eger argues on it. Rabbi Kiva Eger quotes somebody named the Pardes David, that even though the Sefer Torah is sold, the mitzvah continues. The mitzvah is done already because the whole mitzvah was the creation. A little bit like Mickey was alluding to before. It's the creation of Sefer Torah. We want to be Marba Sefer Torah. If you create a Sefer Torah, it's kosher, the mitzvah exists. Period. Yuri Yosei. So he argues on that Torah time. And it's clear that this is not just, again, like the original Machlokas we started with. As interesting as this Machlokas is on its own, on the obvious level, on the surface, what happens if you donate a Sefer Torah? Clearly lying underneath are even more profound issues, which very much parallel the Machlokas Rambam and the Muki Yosef. To what extent is possession the issue, and to what extent is just writing it slash creating it the issue? There's a Ramban in the Torah Sa'adam, which is just, I'll mention as a Shita, we don't have time to get into it, but it's interesting. You may be familiar, there's a halacha, a very emotional almost halacha. What if you see a Sefer Torah that's destroyed? Not falling, destroyed. That's halacha. It's our kriya. No, what do you do? A Torah is nimshol la'adam. If you see a Sefer Torah being destroyed, it's as if you see somebody dying.
What if you go to a Holocaust museum and they show you one another?
That's not being destroyed. It's already destroyed. Now, whether they should have those Sefer Torah up is a separate question. We have a member, a wonderful member. I'm not making any judgments. But I was in somebody's house in the shul, and they have a magnificent piece of art. The frame itself weighs like 50 pounds. And beautifully mounted is some Kisvei Kodesh. I believe he told me, this person, that years ago he asked the Shaila, and it was considered about the Tone Sheamus. You know, that's not such a simple Shaila to just say, I'm going to have some, you know, Sefer Torah hanging up on the wall. I don't think that's so simple, especially if it's now possible, it's ripped, whatever. But anyway, the point is, but that's not what we're talking about. You see the destruction. Now, just as a parenthetical comment, for those who are interested, I have it at home. And one of the most beautiful essays I ever read, it was originally given and then written in Yiddish, and only when it was eventually translated into Hebrew that I read. I don't know how many years ago it was actually given, but it was published in Hebrew not that long ago, a little bit more than 10 years ago. Where Soloveitchik gave a knockout, super-duper brilliant, beautiful, inspiring drusha, which I don't know how to say the Yiddish perfectly, but in Hebrew they translated it as HaYehudi Mashul Sefer Torah. And it was so beautiful because he was going through so many Hilchos Sefer Torah and showing them as metaphors for how they then relate to the person and specifically to the Jewish people. It's a magnificent, inspiring essay. And one of the many halachos that he discusses is this halacha, which the Ramban here is talking about, which is that when you see that connection of a person in a Sefer Torah, the fact that similar halachos, the reaction, again, we don't have the minhag nowadays, if you're in the hospital room or at home and you see someone actually passes away, we don't tear kriya. I mean, I don't know of anyone who's tear kriya, but Mikra Din, that's the way Gemara Shachar quoted. And Mikra Din, that's the same thing when it comes to Sefer Torah, because a Sefer Torah is compared to a human being. So you tear kriya. Says the Ramban, why? He adds something. Why? Because when it's being ripped, when the Torah is destroyed, the mitzvah is now being cancelled. Now, what mitzvah is he talking about? It does not seem like someone else, Talmud Torah. Because in theory, you could learn Talmud Torah anyway. It sounds like the mitzvah of creating, or Ksiva Sefer Torah, is now destroyed because the Torah is getting destroyed. Now, that Torah could have been around for 50 years or more. And he holds of the possibility that it could get destroyed. Now, that very much relates to the Torah's Chaim, because again, according to Rabbi Kiva Eger, once the mitzvah is done, the mitzvah is done. That doesn't mean that you shouldn't tear kriya. That means there's other understanding of that halacha. But the Ramban is a very interesting Ramban, which is obviously a more authoritative source than the Torah's Chaim. Ramban says the reason you tear kriya is because then that mitzvah is becoming spato. So that's just worth noting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, that's my point. That, yes, yes, that's based on like this Taras Chaim mentality. Whereas if you held like Rabbi Akiva Eiger, you assume that creating the Sefer Torah, writing the Sefer Torah is the mitzvah, and then the other halachas are just covered Sefer Torah, keep the Sefer Torah careful. So that doesn't mean you would disagree with the halacha of Kriya, it just means you have a different understanding of it. Okay. I want to mention three things. Hopefully you will have maybe not time. Okay, I'll mention two of them. We'll blow by one and then hopefully do two. The blow by one is something that happens to all of us. Almost all of us. Now, there are some of us who are so not proficient at this kind of thing, we simply couldn't write a kosher Sefer Torah. There are many people with a little practice who probably could get the letters basically okay. But is it going to be beautiful? Is it going to be the way a real sofer would write it? Of course not. So, Ken Klaren or Shaila, what's better? To write a Sefer Torah, again, if it's not kosher, it's not you talk about. But if you can write a kosher Sefer Torah yourself, but it's not going to be so nice, mitzvah bo yosar mi b'shlucho, or to have a shliach write a Sefer Torah for you, but have it done muhud daras, done beautifully, mitzvah min ha-mufchar. What is better? Now, we know what's cheaper, but what is better? What is better? What is better? So this is a discussion that Chai Adam raises this suffix. And most poskim hold the Chai Adam, the Ksav Sofer. Others hold that hit or mitzvah is better. Again, if you can't afford it, it's a different issue. But if you can't afford it, the way to do it is to have the sofer being written as beautifully as. Huh? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. What can I say? The Horace Nossen, you've heard me quote him before. Nossen Gestetner, contemporary Talmud Chacham from Bnei Brak. He has an interesting tshuva where he relates to this to the Gemara that Eli had said before. Maybe you can have your cake and eat it too, because of the Kol Hamagia Os Achas Gemara. And you could have a sofer write, and this is really what most cases that you and I have ever been associated with is what people are doing, whether they realize the lumdus behind it. They're having a sofer write the Torah, so hopefully it'll be as beautiful as possible. And then when they add a letter or something like that, could be mishtatev, according to those, that's certainly a higher level. According to some, maybe the only, it's certainly the higher level, and therefore you had the mitzvah minimum of Chor, and then at least on one letter.
I mean,
yes, no, but but Alan, there's an equally chashuva, accepted halacha of mitzvah bo. It's not that you're not yotzei, but it's not better. It's better to do it yourself. So the Horus Nosson speaks about, so to speak, having your cake and eating it too. You have the sofer do most of it, and then you can do at the end. And that is also parallel to some people do a mila, I guess. I wouldn't recommend it, but that's another story, by the way. I don't want to give names because I don't want to get the generations wrong, but it's definitely a brisker story. Just a question of which ones I'm referring to. With the first son, the father, was waiting and then did the bris mila. And then by the second one, I think it may be one of Reb Chaim's sons, even. I think this was one of Moshe Soloveitchik. And by the second one, Reb Chaim said, let them all do it. Right? So, the whole premise is you can do it the right way. If you can't do it the right way, whether it's the Sefer Torah or anything else, better let the experts do it. Yes, Joel.
But then, writing a Sefer Torah is if you hold it's a mitzvah there's no. China doesn't exist.
But no one holds that, I don't think. I don't know if anyone holds Mr. Magufa. I don't think so. Because everyone holds this nitzan for a sofer. Which assumes, I didn't spell
but
that.
Everyone holds Mila's nitzan lamo also.
Correct. But not to get too off topic, although I see you and I both keep on being drawn to Mila. Most people don't think them as parallels, but I guess you and I both have seen the overlap. This is a huge discussion. Maybe we'll do it either on a Parshas Lech Lecha Ve'era or Tazrir Mitzorah. You'll remind me. This is a huge discussion about Mila. There's three different shitas. Some say shlichus does not work, and if a father knows how to do the mila, he has to do it himself. Some say that why shouldn't shlichus work? It should be no different than any other mitzvah. And there's a third shita which holds shlichus. You can of course have them all, but you don't need shlichus. Shlichus is like you need the halachidush of the Torah of shlichus that your action should count for me. But according to some understandings of the way mila works, that the father's mitzvah is just to make sure it gets done. So we don't need the razzle dazzle lumdus of shlichus. We don't even. So the point is, just how do you understand the relationship, aside from financial, of course, between me and the Moel, between the father and the Moel, is itself a very complicated relationship. It's very complicated. Depending on how you understand it, it may or may not be parallel to our case. Okay, now the two issues I really want to spend the next 7-8 minutes doing a little bit, 3 or 4 minutes each, both very interesting. One, which as I alluded to, I didn't see exactly who, but somebody from that side of the room, said learning. You? Oh, Alan. Joey.
No, I'm
Okay, fine. Very high mistake of you. It was a test. Right? We prefer Shoshana. The tour is a famous tour. Tour quotes his father, the Rosh. The Rosh discusses Hilchos Sefer Torah in something called, he calls Hilchos Sefer Torah, in the back of Masechta Menachos. And the Rosh, right in the beginning, the opening halacha in Hilchos Sefer Torah, which the Torah quotes in Yardei Simen Resh Ayin, with a humongous chiddush, says the Torah b'shem Adoni Avi HaRosh, everything we're talking about now is b'zmanehem, and they used to learn from a Sefer Torah. But nowadays, when we write a Sefer Torah, and we put it in Aron, that's not how we learn. We learn from a Chumash, from a Gemara, from a Mishnah. Says the Rosh, the mitzvah nowadays is to write a Sefer. A Mishnah, a Chumash. Who can't write a Chumash? Everyone can write a Chumash. I mean, it's tedious, but you can do it. Says the Rosh, that is the mitzvah. Quoted by the Torah. Awesome. What a chiddush. So, just briefly, the Beis Yosef, the Bach, the Taz, they all say, listen, you know what? It's a chiddush, but El Chabo, Yosef Chedusho. What he means is, in addition. Now, there's two ways to fulfill the mitzvah. Writing an actual Torah, and writing a Sefer. But he doesn't mean to say, impossible that he means to say, that you're not Yotzei by writing a Sefer Torah. It's a mitzvah. A tayag, who gave the Rosh the power to, you'll forgive the pun, write out a mitzvah from the Sefer, from the Torah. However, the simple understanding of the Rosh is that he's doing that, and in fact, the Shach understands him that way. According to the Shach, forgive us, Rabbi Oberstein, and anyone else, according to the Shach, according to the Rosh, if we could possibly like that, there is no mitzvah to write a Sefer Torah. You need one for Kriyas HaTorah. I mean, it's better than just going to the ball game. I mean, it's but it's not the mitzvah of Tayag. It's not the mitzvah Daraisa. Maybe Shagzari, others, maybe it's the mitzvah of the Rabbanon, maybe. But he holds it's really a chiddush atzum. We don't have time to discuss how to defend that from the obvious problem of give the Rosh the right. But the bottom line is, he says the mitzvah of writing Sefer Torah does not apply anymore. The mitzvah of writing Sfarim is what applies. Now, what was alluded to before by somebody in this side of the room is clearly, however extreme you want to understand the Rosh, and that's the machlokas of how extreme you think he is, the inherent assumption of, the implicit assumption, excuse me, is a different thing. We were talking now until, is it the mitzvah to write Sefer Torah? And Mickey added, which I had not said, but I didn't disagree with, when you say writing Sefer Torah, maybe the chiddush is, because the goal of the mitzvah is to be marba Sefer Torah. And one could easily understand why that would be a goal. What the Rosh is presenting for us is an entirely different perspective. What the Rosh is saying is not about creating Sefer Torah. You know, what's the point? What good is that? That's a Sefer Torah in a museum? So what? We can talk about using it. The lifeblood of the Klal Yisrael is not creating Sefer Torah. It's learning Torah. So if you're learning from Sefer Torah, the mitzvah is have a Sefer Torah. That's a statement about Talmud Torah. But if you learn from Chumashim, so that's what you should... So you see from that Rosh, just like we saw earlier from the Rambam and the Nimukhis respectively, that is intriguing as the psak of these Rishonim are on the surface. On all of these cases lies a layer underneath, which is an assumption about the goal or nature of the mitzvah.
So what you're trying to say is like, you should tell my wife that's a mitzvah to buy Sfarim.
So what I didn't say is buying. And that is an interesting question. Perhaps, it's parallel. I was curious. I've heard people say this, and between you and me, I've already used that one on my wife. I'm way ahead of you, Joey. It's the one and only argument that I've ever won in my 10 years of marriage. Because when we first got married, after buying Sfarim, my wife said, listen, when you read all the ones you already have, you can buy new ones. And between that argument and all sorts of other vice scars that I came up with,
Lamaisa,
I'm still buying Sfarim and I have not read all the ones I own. It's the one and only and last time I actually won such an argument. So I've used it, but I'm not sure it's glot. Because it's perhaps parallel, and maybe even less, to the machlokas about Sefer Torah. Is buying a Sefer Torah sufficient? As if you wanted to combine the Rosh and the Rambam, maybe we'd get your Joey. Not a bad combination. The Rambam holds buying a Sefer Torah is sufficient, and the Rosh holds it now that the transfers to Svarim. If you add one and one, maybe, you don't always get two in Halacha, but maybe one and one equals two, maybe that means that buying Svarim. But I didn't see anyone write that explicitly, and I didn't have a chance to, I wanted to ask Poskim. So, well, if you see somebody in Yeshiva or otherwise please ask them, and especially if the answer is yes, let me know. If the answer is no, you can wait till before you tell me. Okay, last issue, we have a few minutes left, 4 minutes. And this, again, apropos, Joey, what about women? And if we'll be machayev your wife, then that'll be another argument to use when you buy a sperm. The problem is, the lotion of the Rambam is, in Sefer HaMitzvahs and in the beginning of Hilchos Sefer Torah, beginning of the Perek Zayin, Hilchos Sefer Torah Halacha Aleph, he should sivanu shiyehe, or shiyeh, lekol ish, mimenu Sefer Torah l'atzmo. Now you'll say, maybe ish just means person here. It doesn't mean man versus women. But Rambam, at the end of Sefer HaMitzvos, as many of you know, he collects and categorizes some of those mitzvahs. These are the mitzvahs that apply all the time. These are the mitzvahs that are just in Eretz Yisrael and for Kohanim. And then that's where the Rambam also lists what are the mitzvahs that women are not chayiv in. And the Rambam says, one of the mitzvahs is HaMitzvah HaYudches, the 18th mitzvah, this one. The Rambam says that any Gemara, that any Mocher, he assumes women are exempt. The Shagas Aryeh goes ballistic. It's not Mitzvah Shemon Grama. What is the Rambam's Mocher? Why should they be pturos? And in fact, I think the Shagas Aryeh's assumption lahalacha is that they are chayiv in the mitzvah of Ksiv Sefer Torah. So the shaila is, how can we understand the shita of the Rambam?
Can they write Sefer Torah?
So get to that too. Good. So the Sefer Achinuch holds like Louis. The Sefer Achinuch adds, again, it's not in the Rambam himself, and it's not in the Gemara. The Sefer Achinuch adds, because women are potter from Talmud Torah, they're potter from the mitzvah of Ksiv Sefer Torah. Now, you already know, and I don't have time to flesh it out. Obviously, this relates to our Rosh. The lumdus of the Rosh is obviously accepted by the Chinuch, and that's two nafkaminas. If you assume that the nature of this mitzvah is for Talmud Torah, on the one hand, you may change it as zman hazeh, and number two, that may be the reason to exempt women. And that's exactly what the Sefer HaChinuch says. However, the Shagas Aryeh asks, but women make Berchas HaTorah, Simin and Zayin, and Orach Chaim, women make Berchas HaTorah, they're chayiv, according to Shulchan Aruch, to make Berchas HaTorah. So the Beis Halevi and then Avnei Nezer, but this is a very famous shuv in the Beis Halevi, Chelek Aleph Simin Vav, he says, you have to understand, even according to the Magen Avraham, based on the Maharil, and earlier, the Sefer Ogur, who holds that women make Berchas HaTorah because they're chayiv to learn mitzvah shelahen, that's quoted in Ramah, the nature of that learning is not the mitzvah of Vishinantam Levanecha, is not Begeder Talmud Torah, quote unquote. So what is it? It is in the nature of Ein Hama Aretz Chassid. You can't be a religious Jew if you don't know what the religion is. You have to learn in order to know how to do. So you have, the woman has to learn all of Hilchos Kashrus. Now whether she should learn from an English book, from a Sefer Kitzer in Hebrew, from Shulchan Aruch, from Aruch Shulchan, or from the Gemara Chulin through Rishonim, it's a different question. But everyone holds she has to know Hilchos Kashrus. But that's not, even if you'll hold that the best way for her to learn it is from the Gemara through Rishonim, it's not in the Getter of Mitzvah Talmud Torah. That is an assumption that Beis Halevi makes, and there's an Avnei Nezer that says that in a Kaf HaChaim, and therefore all of them don't like that being the reason for women making Berachos Torah. So there might be other explanations for that. But that is, that's an easily way to be misalik that Shagas Aryeh. One last way to relate to that, and that is to say the following. Perhaps the reason that women are pturos is what was alluded to before. It was Samuel asked, right, about writing the Sefer Torah. The pashtus of the Gemara Masechet Gittin is kol sheyeshno b'kshira, yeshno b'ksiva. It's talking about tefillin, for example. This is a woman is not chayav to put on tefillin. She can't write tefillin. Now the Gemara lists a few things including Sefer Torah, and most assume, not all, most assume that therefore a woman cannot be a soferet to write a Sefer Torah. There are some, you should just know, there are shitas who hold that women can write a Sefer Torah. But that's not the general assumption, that's not the popular approach. So if you assume that that's the case, says the Minchas Chinuch, obviously she's putter. If she can't write the mitzvah, she can't do it herself. You'll say, okay, she can hire a sofer. We have a different halacha, which is kol delo maziyav lo maziyav la'ashvei shliach. If I can't do something myself, I can't make a shliach to do it. That's the Minchas Chinuch's defense of the Rambam. Now, it's worth noting, number one, Mr. Scheinberg has a short essay on Mr. Scheinberg Shlita. He says, first of all, you see that the Chinuch probably disagreed with that Minchas Chinuch, because the Chinuch gave his whole explanation of women in Talmud Torah. For the Minchas Chinuch, you have an easier answer, since they can't write, and because they can't write, therefore they can't hire Shliach. So there are ways to answer it, and I'll leave you with one last point, which is a global shlichus issue. How do you answer the minchas chinuch's taima of if you can't do it yourself, lo mazi mashvei shliach? So he suggests from Scheinberg, he has two different answers, but the simple answer is to say, we don't always say that in shlichus. There's two types of things that require shlichus. Certain things I have no koach to do, so I may want to ask somebody else to do it. That, he says, when you cannot give that over to a shliach. Because if I have no koach to do it myself, how can I give the koach to somebody else to be my shliach? I'm too weak to then give it over. Only something I have the power to do, but for whatever reason I can't or don't want to do, so then I can ask a shliach to do it for me. But, says the Scheinberg, there are other areas where I have the power to do something. The shaila is, if someone else does it, is it mesiaches to me? Is it if they did it, or do I get the points for doing it? So things which I could do, it's just that I want to make sure they're mesiaches to me. So then, he says, that's where the halacha called the lomazi avid does not apply. Since I could do it, it's just that I want it to be mesiaches to me. So the fact that, in theory, I could do it, that means that even though right now I can't, but I can still have a shliach do it. And therefore, we're rushing through this, and I'm sorry, but he suggests that perhaps you can't lump all of the shlichus examples together, but only in some case, depending, let's just leave it at this, depending on what the shliach is coming to do for me, what I can't do, what he's compensating for me, depending on what I can't do, that may or may not be exclude me from having a shliach do it for me. So one way or the other, it seems to be machlokas between the Rambam and the Shagas Aryeh, and their opinions on both sides, whether women are obligated. We saw the big machlokas of Baba Zman Hazeh. We saw the machlokas in essence, whether the mitzvah is possessing or writing. And at the end of the day, certainly whether the Rosh is right or not, no pun intended, about whether the essence of the mitzvah's Talmud Torah is, certainly the most salient thing for us to take away, those of us who are not actively involved in giving a dollar to Chabad, or $36,000 to a sofer, or anything in between, is to, as we conclude this year of learning, is to see that essence, how important it is to have a Sefer Torah with us, literally and figuratively, because it's a statement about the value and centrality of Talmud Torah in our lives. And Yirtzeh Hashem, the coming year should be one, communally as a shul in this year and beyond, that is dedicated in such to Talmud Torah. Rebbe Shabbat, Ksiva, V'chassima, Tova. And I hope to see you in many other ways, but on Thursday nights with the Cholent, Yirtzeh Hashem, I'll see you. Shabbos Parashas. Be well.